And so this afternoon, I want to talk about the bride again. But a particular aspect of the bride is what I call the bride on the land. And there's a few passages that we will look at together. But I think before I do that, I would just pray and just ask the Lord to lead us in our afternoon session. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that Lord, you have gathered us together even from different places around the world in order that we might be with you now to hear and receive the things that you want us to hear. Lord, I ask for your grace to speak. Speak only the words that you are saying. And that, Lord, that we would know not only that we have been in your presence, but that you would romance our hearts. So, Lord, take us into a deeper relationship and understanding. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So, the bride on the land. I want to go back to the beginning. To the beginning, we know the Genesis story. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and 3, where Howard shared some of this yesterday. But in Genesis chapter 1, it says, "Let us make man in our own image. Male and female, he created them both. Let us make man in our own image. Male and female, he created them both." So when it says both, that gives us an understanding that it was more than one. When you say both, you're referring to that there are two. So there was both male and female. And we find that in Genesis chapter 1. But then it comes to Genesis chapter 2. And we find here that Adam is naming all of the animals. And so as the animals would pass by, Adam would give them a name. But there came a point where there was all the animals had passed by, and yet there was nobody else like Adam. Hallelujah. It says that no suitable helper for Adam was found. And that it was not good for him or man to be alone. We know that in Genesis chapter 3, we know that this is where Satan came in the form of a serpent to deceive Eve. And we know that Eve took the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then Adam joined her and also ate of the forbidden fruit. And then the Lord comes. They were aware of their nakedness, so they hid themselves. And the Lord came walking in the cool of the day. Adam, Adam, where are you? Perhaps one of the most tragic statements that God had ever said. That Adam, where are you? That sin had entered into the world. That he would no longer be in fellowship with God. So we know we call this the fall. When sin entered into the world. And if I were to ask you, What is the main message of the Bible? Or we could ask a pastor or a teacher. What is the central message of Scripture? We would perhaps hear different answers. It's a story about the love of God. One of the answers that we would hear is about God's redemptive plan for man. The Bible is about God's redemption of mankind. But redemption doesn't bring to us anything new. Redemption isn't about bringing something new. It's about restoring something that was lost. So if we're saying about redemption or about being restored, then we have to ask the question, restored to what? What is it that's being redeemed? What is it that's being restored? Well, we can find the answer to that in Genesis 1 and 2. To return back to what God had originally created. That he created the earth and the universe. He created in 6 days and rested on the seventh. But it says he created man in his own image, male and female. And it says that you shall have dominion over the earth. So, in the very beginning, there was relationship and responsibility. There was relationship, but that relationship had not yet been fully fulfilled. That it says that he created them both. But in Genesis 2, we find that Adam is alone. So Howard touched on this yesterday. That where was Eve? God had created them both, but where was she? It says it was not good for him to be alone. And so the Lord put Adam into a deep sleep. He performed divine surgery. Then he opened up the side of Adam and took out a rib. out from the side of Adam, from man. He formed the woman out of the man. That she was called woman. That she came out of Adam. Hallelujah. Adam wakes up. He sees Eve. Or she wasn't Eve at the time. But he sees the first woman. It says, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That Eve came out of Adam. But then the Bible says something very interesting. And you will know this because you would have read this before. It says, for this reason, a man will leave his father's house and go and be united to his bride. But Adam didn't have a father's house. Adam didn't have a father's house. Adam didn't have a father's house to leave to go and be united to his bride. But we find that scripture there in the passage here in Genesis 2. And so we know it's prophetic. And we find it again in Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul is teaching. He says a profound mystery, that he has given us a marriage relationship, husband to wife, in order to understand a higher truth. That the relationship that we have is for us to understand the relationship between Jesus and his church, or Jesus and his bride. And there in Adam and Eve, we find the prophecy for Jesus to come. That Jesus will leave his father's house, hallelujah, and he will go and be united to his bride. He shall become one with his bride. Hallelujah. And we know, and how we taught yesterday, how the bride coming out of the side. Adam fell asleep. Jesus was crucified. The bride has always been in Christ. As Eve was always within Adam. The bride was already in the man. So Adam was put to sleep, Jesus was crucified. Jesus was crucified. But the bride needed to come forth. It says that when Jesus had died, it says that he cried out, it is finished, he breathed his last and he died. But there were others who were crucified with him on that day. Hallelujah. So they wanted to basically speed up the death of all those who had been crucified. And so the Roman soldiers would come and would break the legs of those hanging. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. Therefore, it was not necessary to break his legs. And this fulfilled more prophecy, that no bones shall be broken. But my point is this, that Jesus had already paid the price for sin. And so the spear in the side was not about redemption or was not about sin. It was not about sin. He'd already paid the price when he died for our sin. But there was one final process that was necessary, and for the bride to come out. Hallelujah. The bride was within him, but needed to be birthed, to be brought forth out of his side. Let me ask you a question. Where did the blood fall? The blood. Where, when the blood came out of his side, where did the blood fall? When the spear was thrust in the side, and the blood and the water flowed, where did it fall? It fell on the land. Hallelujah. It fell on the land. There's something very profound about that statement. If you follow with me, after Adam and Eve, we know they had sons, Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel. Abel was a shepherd. And Cain was a farmer. He would work the land. Both of them would give an offering unto God. But only one offering was acceptable. The Bible says that Abel's sacrifice was acceptable before God. But Cain's sacrifice was not from his heart. That the produce from the land did not honor God. The produce, what the land was able to produce, was not given to God. He was not honored. He was not worshipped with what came from the land.
Okay.
Hallelujah. So was that part interpreted? Or shall I say that again? Okay. Okay. What was produced from the land was not given to God in a way that honored him. The Lord speaks very seriously to Cain, says, sin is crouching at your door. It longs to have mastery over you. You are to resist it. But Cain did not heed God's word. And we know that there came a time, an opportune time, and Cain says to his brother, come, let's go to into the field. And Cain slayed his brother. He killed his brother. And the blood of Abel was spilled upon the land. And one day, soon after that had happened, the Lord comes. He said to Cain, where is thy brother? Cain says, am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord speaks to Cain again.
It says, the blood of your brother is crying out before me. The blood of his brother Abel crying out before God. The Lord punished Cain that day. He punished Cain that day. The punishment was very significant. It said to Cain that the land will no longer provide for you. If you look at the Hebrew, it says the land will no longer produce wealth. That God in his creation had put within the land the ability to create wealth, to provide resource from the land. And Cain's punishment was that the land will no longer provide for you. You shall be a wanderer. You shall be banished away from here. The land is very important to understand. The bride is planted in the land. Hallelujah. There is a connection between God's people and the land in which they live. There are resources and provision from God's economy that he has already placed within the land. Genesis 1. The Lord said, God said, let there be light. And there was light. He said, let there be a separation between the waters above and the waters beneath. God spoke, and it happened. Waters above and waters beneath. Then he said, let the waters recede so that dry ground can come. God spoke, and it happened. This is my point. The next day, God did not say, let there be plants and vegetation.
Whoa.
God didn't say that. He didn't say, let there be trees and let there be plants. Is that heresy? Is that heresy? Am I telling the truth? Did God not create the plants and the trees? The first 3 days he spoke and he created. But on this day, he said, let the land produce. You understand the difference? He didn't say, let there be trees and let there be plants and seed-bearing kind. He had already placed within the DNA of the land, the soil, the ability for it to reproduce and for it to have creative power. The spoken word of God is within the very land upon which we stand. God's word, his eternal word, understand this, he has already placed his word upon the very land in which we live. Let the land produce. Let the land produce every plant of every kind and trees of every kind. There is power. God has spoken. He has invested his word upon the land upon which we live and stand. The land is a gift of God. for our provision and for our wealth. For our provision, for our wealth, our provision. All of the world's wealth. Today, you can trace back to the land. All of the wealth, whether that be mineral or gold or oil, whatever it is, everything you can trace back, it originates with God's creation when He said, "Let there be land." Even our power that drives our computers. What about our car? The car is made from metal. Where did the metal come from? The metal came from the land. When we put the fuel in the car, where did the fuel come from? That petrol comes from the oil. Where does the oil come from? We have our power that comes from Uganda. Hydroelectric power. Where does that power come from? It's from the water that's flowing over God's creation. You understand what I'm saying? That all wealth originates back somewhere. You can trace it back to the land and God's creation. Okay, so what did God say to Cain? He said that this land will no longer provide wealth for you. The land will no longer support you. You will be a wanderer. And he put a mark on Cain. The mark on Cain. And so Cain becomes a wanderer. He is banished away from Eden. And he becomes a wanderer. But one day, he decides that he will not be a wanderer anymore. And the Bible says that Cain built a city and he named it after his son. Cain was the first one to build a city. This is what he said to himself. If the land will not provide wealth for me, I will take it for myself. And if you read the other, there's other historical accounts that talk about Cain. It says that he was a violent man. He would go out into the country, and by force he would take wealth from the land and he would bring it into the city. That is what we experience today. A transfer of wealth from the land into the city. That by man's own inventiveness, his own cleverness and invention has devised a way to take all of the resources and to keep it there, locked away in the city. Hallelujah. Why am I sharing this with you? Because I want you to understand the powerful and important point about the bride. Jesus died. The spear was thrown in the side. We know that we have already said the blood and the water are representing the bride coming out of the side of Jesus. But where did the blood fall? Where did the blood fall? Where did the bride go? She fell upon the land. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The bride God plants, he plants the bride upon the land. I find it really amazing that just as the blood of Abel fell upon the soil, so also the blood of the good shepherd fell upon the soil. Abel was a shepherd. Jesus was the good shepherd. Amen. Are you with me? Abel was a shepherd. His blood fell upon the land and cried out for vengeance. Jesus was the good shepherd. His blood fell upon the land, but did not cry for vengeance, but cried out for mercy. His blood fell upon the land, Jesus' blood on the land. It was crying out for mercy. The blood of the shepherd upon the land. That the land that upon which we live can be healed. The land on which we live can be healed. The land on which we live, the blood of Jesus is able to atone for. Just like Cain slayed his brother Abel, there have been deaths, there have been sin and crimes that have been committed upon the land. There has been blood spilt upon this very land. And that blood would cry out for vengeance. But there is a blood that is greater. Hallelujah. There is a blood that is more powerful. There is a blood that can wash away every sin, every stain upon Kenya's soil can be cleansed and healed by the blood of the good shepherd that falls upon the land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus upon the land was not about our redemption. We were redeemed when he cried out his last. But the blood that fell was about the redemption and the preparation of the land for the bride to be planted in the land. We are connected with the land in which we live. You cannot take a people away from the land. They know that they have been, there's a wound which is infected, which is inflicted when we are removed apart away from the land. That's because there's a connection, a God-ordained connection between a people and the land in which he plants them. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The bride upon the land. In Hosea chapter 2. This is one of my favorite scriptures. In Hosea chapter 2. Let me read for you some of these verses. It says, therefore, I am now going to attract her. I will romance her. I will draw her to myself. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. I will speak words of kindness to her. Listen to me. The Lord is drawing us away into a desert place where he gets us all for himself. He says, I will attract you to me. I will captivate your heart. I want to captivate your heart. I want to romance you. I want to attract you to myself. But the place that he does that,
is a place in the wilderness. It's in the desert place that God draws us so that He can speak words of kindness to us. What is it that you hear when you are in the desert place? What is it that you hear when you're in the desert place? Do we hear words of kindness? Do we hear the words of our bridegroom speaking words of love? Or do we hear other words? Maybe even words of the enemy. Where is your God now? He has brought you to this place. He has left you here. God is leading His bride into a desert place so that He can speak words of kindness to her. There is something that God wants to speak to you even today. In our passage in Hosea 2, it goes on to say, in that place, in the desert place, I will give her back her vineyard. Hallelujah. Her vineyard, where you grow grapes. Hallelujah. In your desert, God will give you fruitfulness. In the place of your suffering, God will give back to you your vineyard, a place of your fruitfulness. He says, I will make the valley of Achor, the valley of trouble, a door of hope. Hosea 2. Hosea 2, so just after Daniel.
Chapter 2.
Amen. Here. Yeah.
Verse number 14.
Yes. In fact, can you just read that maybe? Just read that.
Wacha nisome kwa Kiswahili. Kwa hiyo, angalia mimi nitamshawishi na kumleta nyikani. Kumleta nyikani na kusema naye maneno ya kumtuliza moyo. Nami nitampa mashamba yake ya misabibu toka huku na bonde la Akori kwa mlango wa tumaini, naye atanitikia huko kama siku zile za ujana wake, na kama siku ile alipopanda kutoka nchi ya Misri.
That's fine. It says that in that place, he says, I will give her back her vineyards. In the beginning there, in the verse 14. It says, I will give her back her place of fruitfulness. Verse 15, second half, it says, there she will sing. She will sing as in the days of her youth. In verse 16 it says, in that day you will call me my husband. In that day you will call me my husband. It says, I will remove the names of the Baals from her lips. It says, in that day I will make a covenant for them. With the beasts of the field.
Wala hawata wajawa tena kwa majina yao, nami siku hiyo.
and the birds of the air. I will make a covenant with the beasts of the field and the birds in the air. Verse number 19. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice. In love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness and you will acknowledge the Lord. This passage is a bridal passage. It's talking about a love relationship between a husband and his wife. But it takes place, where is this romance happening? Where is it that this romance takes place? When God is here with us and we are working and we are living upon the land, there is a place where He wants to romance your heart. He wants to bless you upon your land. He wants to bless you upon your land. When you sow your crop, He wants to bless your crop. Hallelujah. It is His heart to romance you when you are planted upon the land. It goes on to say, 21. In that day, I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the sky. I will respond to the sky. I will respond to the sky. It says, in that day. On what day? What will be the day that God will respond to the sky? It will be the day when you sing a new song. Because it says, in that day you will no longer call me my master, but my husband. It says that when you are there in the desert, it says there she will sing a new song. That you sing a new song, the song of the bride. Hallelujah. When you sing upon the land, you are activating the heart of the bridegroom to bless you, and you move into a marriage covenant with him upon the land in which you live. In that day, on the day when you release the prophetic song, on that day when you sing, the song of the bride, you can walk upon the land knowing that the very word of God is present within the soil of the land in which you stand. When you sing, you are connecting heaven and earth because you are the bride. When the bride sings, creation responds. When the bride sings, creation responds. In that day, I will respond to the sky. I will respond to the sky. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the sky. The sky. The sky will respond to the earth. He says, I will respond to the sky. And the sky will respond to the earth. And the earth will respond to the grain. To the grain. Verse number 22. If you read verse 22. Amen. It says that they will respond to Jezreel. The earth will respond to Jezreel. Is that what your Bible says? Is that what your translation says? That the earth will respond to Jezreel. Is that right? Or is it? I have the NIV. That's what it says. Jezreel means that which the Lord has planted. The Lord has planted. He's a gardener. He has planted Jezreel, that which God has planted. The earth will respond to that which God has planted. So the question is, what is it that God has planted? Well, we find in the next verse, in 23. If you read, my friend, in verse
23. Nani ndini watu wangu nao watasema wewe ndiwe Mungu wangu.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It says, I will plant her.
Nitampanda.
He's talking about his bride.
Anaongea kuhusu bi harusi.
I will plant her for myself in the land.
Nitajipandia katika nchi.
He's talking about us.
Ananena kuhusu sisi.
The bride is planted by God upon the land. Hallelujah. And creation will respond to her. You understand the importance of what I'm saying? Through your bridal position, through your bridal identity, that you have divine significance and favor and blessing and authority, that you change the land and the world upon which you live. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There are some things that only the bride can do. There are some prayers that only the bride can pray. The bride has unique power about her like no other. She is uniquely planted by God in the land, that she influences everything around her. Even it says in this passage, the new wine and oil. What is the new wine and oil? They are symbols of the Holy Spirit. It says that there, even the new wine and oil will respond to Jezreel. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will respond to the bride. The Holy Spirit will respond to that which God has planted. Wow! What a position! What a blessing that we have! We thank you, God. There are songs that when sung, songs that the bride needs to sing over the land. Sing, O barren woman. Sing, O barren woman. Isaiah 54. Sing, O barren woman. You who never bore children. You who never bore children. For more are the children of the desolate woman. When we sing as the bride, there we have a womb. We have fertility. We are fertile. The bride is very fertile. Hallelujah. She has a womb. She is carrying the seed of God. When she sings, she is in prophecy. When she sings, she is prophesying, for she is singing the songs of the bridegroom. She is singing songs over the land. They have prophetic power to realign, and creation is longing to hear the song of the bride. Creation is looking for the bride upon the land. Creation knows that which is true and that which is counterfeit. Oh, hallelujah. You cannot fool creation. It's looking for that which is genuine, that which God Himself has planted, and that which He has planted is His bride. Oh, hallelujah.
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 There is a prayer that only the bride can pray. There's a prayer that only the bride can pray. And I believe this prayer is a prayer of repentance. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, he says, "If my people who are called by my name," this was a prophecy given to Solomon. It was a marriage covenant relationship. When we read 2 Chronicles 7:14, we must understand that that is within the marriage covenant relationship between God and His people. He's not only saying, "If my people," he's saying, "If my bride."
Hallelujah.
If my bride, who is called by my name, my wife, my Pierusi, whatever that is, Pierusi, what is that? Wife, bride. Pierusi.
Yeah.
Amen. My wife, she has my name. We are Mr. and Mrs. Pike. She has my name. She has my name. Even not so much now, but in more old fashion, you could write, if you wrote a letter, it would be to Mr. and Mrs. Michael Pike. Is that right? That's right. If you write to a letter and it's a husband and wife, you would say to Mr. and Mrs. Michael Pike. My wife has my name. The bride has his name. If my bride, who is called by my name, will humble herself and turn from her way, and she will pray, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive her sin, and I will heal her land. It is a prayer that only the bride can pray, because it is only to the bride that the land has been given. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's about ownership and righteousness. We can gather people together, but if we are not behaving and loving like the bride, He cannot respond, because it's only to His bride that He can respond. If my bride, who is called by my name, will humble herself and turn from her ways and pray, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive her sin, and I will heal her land. Hallelujah. The bride on the land. Whoa.
Hallelujah.
The bride on the land.
Be a Ruswaichi.
Bride on the land.
It
is where God has planted us. It is the place of our provision.
It is a place where he romances our heart. In that chapter in Hosea 2, he says, there I will give her back her vineyard. In other words, I will give her back. Tells me that somehow it had been lost. That the vineyard had been lost. The place of our fruitfulness has been lost. But there on the land, there in that desert place, it is there where God has brought you today. Wherever you are, whatever your journey has been to bring you here today, God knows and God sees you. He knows the plan that he has for you. God has drawn you into a place where he is able to speak into your life. It is not a place for you to perish. It is a place for you to flourish. A place where he can give back to you the vineyard that he has promised to give to you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Lord sees us. And he knows us. His heart is drawn towards us. He knows what he has promised for us. He is extending his hand to you and to me today. He is saying, will you come with me? Come away with me. You have been busy and you have been tired, but I want to draw you unto myself to a place where I can speak into your life words of kindness. Where I can speak tenderly to you. Where I can romance your heart. Where you remember the first love. What it was like to be in love with Jesus. When it didn't care or matter about anything else. We were so full of joy. Everybody knew it. We knew at that moment that we were loved by God, not because of who we were, but because of his great heart. He is drawing us into a bridal relationship with him. He says that I will draw you to myself. God knows where we are today. He sees our need. And he cannot in his heart withhold. He cannot withhold his blessing or his love. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I wonder in this time that we have now. I wonder in this time that we have right now. That Lord, I'm asking. Lord, we are asking. Lord, that we may know. Lord, your presence. To come, Lord, into a place of experience and encounter with you. What is it that we are holding on to? What is it that we have held so tightly that even the Lord himself is saying, let go. Let go. Let go. Let go. Let go. Let go. When we let go. I want to encourage us right now. I believe there are some here that we are, the Lord is sharing with us and showing us there are things that we need to let go. Create room. Create room for him to come. Surrender again over to him. Know that he has a plan for us. For some of us, there's a change of direction. We've been walking one way and not getting anywhere. But the Lord has wanted to take us in a different journey, into a different path. Lord, as we are here today, Lord, we want to come right now as we are. We come as we are. Lord, into your presence. Lord, we have been tired. Struggling. Holding on to hope, yet still not moved into that breakthrough or victory. Lord, when we finish here today, many of us have, Lord, far to go. We've come from different places around. Lord, we would say today, do not send us from here unless your presence goes with us. Lord, we don't want to leave this place of your altar. We don't want to leave this place today until we know that, Lord, you have spoken words of kindness into our heart. I pray, Lord, that you would open the eyes. Help us to see things from your perspective. Help us, Lord, to hear what it is that you're saying to us. Lord, we need you today. We need you today. Lord, we need you, Lord. Lord, we need you. Our hearts, Lord, are drawn to you, O God. Lord. Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
As we are in this place today, we are here before the Lord. That if you know, and in your heart you feel like, I really want prayer right now. That I need prayer. I need a touch from God. I'm serving the Lord, but I'm struggling. I've got a problem. Or I want to feel His presence again. I need a fresh and filling of the Holy Spirit. I've been tired and somehow just found myself too far away from His presence. As we sing a worship song, if you want us to pray for you today, our time is coming to an end. If you know in your heart, you feel, yes, Lord, I want prayer. Then we want to encourage you to come. Just to come forward, and Howard and I and others, we'll pray for you. We want to bless you. We want to share and come before Father to ask for His touch and His blessing and provision and healing in your life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We just worship the Lord. We just worship the song. And as Carol just leads us in worship, just to have you just to come and just to come to the front. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.